Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this 51st episode of Step Into the Light on this Tuesday morning, April 25th. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through the manner in which they live their lives, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Imprisonment takes many forms, from physical incarceration behind bars to forced enslavement by way of human trafficking and power over the mind through exposure to false beliefs. How does one who is imprisoned learn to find hope and relate to a loving God? My guest this morning is author, blogger, and editor Rebecca Carey Lyles. Becky has a heart for those who have been imprisoned. She holds a BA in church education from Denver Baptist Bible College and was involved in prison ministry in Arizona. Becky has been a transitional coach for women exiting Idaho prisons and jails. She has published a book about a Colorado prison ministry, which contains interviews of inmates and volunteers and features a jail chaplain. Becky grew up in Wyoming, the setting for her award-winning Kate Nielsen novels, Winds of Hope, Winds of Wyoming, Winds of Freedom, and Winds of Change. She currently lives in Idaho, where she serves as an editor and a mentor for aspiring authors. She and her husband, Steve, host a podcast called Let Me Tell You a Story, which can be accessed through her website, BeckyLyles.com, on iTunes, and on iHeartRadio. Good morning, Becky, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. For our listeners, Becky and I met, oh my goodness, Becky, I can't even remember how many years ago it's been now, but they were holding a writer's conference over there in Idaho, and I was working with a small publishing company at the time, and I was able to go over and present a workshop at that conference and meet some new people, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I especially loved the fact that there was, I can't remember how much snow was on the ground, but it was plenty. So I was just in heaven right there because I love the snow. So you even took me snowshoeing. Remember that?
I do remember. I remember that long trek up the hill.
Yes.
Way back.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm very jealous of your country over there. Becky, do you have any snow now or is it pretty well gone?
We still have snow. They said they... reopened the ski area.
Oh, my. And here my friend and I have to plan our walks for early in the morning because by evening it's like 75 or 80 degrees out here.
Oh, well, I'm kind of jealous of that.
I suppose, yeah. Well, next time you're out in the snow, just think of me and how much I would enjoy it if I was there.
Okay, I will do that.
So, Becky, tell us, what... You are very much ingrained in the writing life in many different aspects. As a writer, you're a regular blogger. You also are involved in the editing end of things. So is this something that you've wanted to do since childhood? Were you involved in writing when you were young? Or is this something that when you were a kid, you said, uh-uh, never me?
Well, I, like most writers, I was an avid reader. I loved the library, ten blocks away in our small town, and got stacks of books again and again. I don't know that I thought so much about writing, although I was fairly comfortable with the essays and papers we had to do in school. But I really don't think I had any aspirations until after I finished college, and a couple years later got married, and a couple years later had our first child. And I saw, we were in Cheyenne, Wyoming at the time, and I saw that a local reporter, I still remember her name, Catherine Gress, was offering a creative writing class at a community center. So, oh man, our baby was just beginning to walk around furniture then. And found a babysitter, and I only remember that because at the babysitter's house, she pulled a plant down onto her head.
Oh, my.
Why that sticks in my mind. But I went to that class for, 6 to 10 weeks, and wrote an article for the local paper, and we talked about fiction and nonfiction, and I happened to know a man who had seen a UFO while he was fishing, and he was a very, very credible person, and he allowed me to interview him, and, with the instruction in the class, write that article, and then they published it, and so that was my big publication in the local paper.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it was very fun, and it started me, for many years I wrote articles and a few short stories, but I wasn't strong in fiction back then. So that was my beginning.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was fascinated with UFOs when I was a kid, too. I can remember reading all about, remember the Exeter, New Hampshire thing, and oh my goodness, I read every book I could get my hands on about UFOs.
Really?
And, oh, yeah, goodness, yes. And out here, you know, we're kind of on the plains. You'll probably think we're crazy, but my daughter and I noticed these, they were just strange lights that would come on at night, and we couldn't figure out where they were coming from. And, mm-hmm. I mean, we would get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and drive and drive and try to find the source of those lights. We never found them. It was
never
just
did.
Very strange. I think my son was visiting us from over in the UK at the time. He was with us, but it was just crazy stuff, but oh yeah, I still kind of have a fascination for that sort of thing. I don't know what's ever going to come of it, if there's really other life out there and if it'll ever connect with us, because the distances are just so daunting, you know, but hey, you
mm-hmm.
just never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting that you would write about write about something like that. Yeah, your first. You write both fiction and nonfiction, Becky. Do you have a preference? If you had a choice, would you say, well, I'd just like to stick with fiction, or I'd just like to stick with nonfiction? And what do you see as advantages to both, I guess, or disadvantages?
Okay. Well, I we lived from Wyoming. We moved to Arizona for a short time, and there I met a career coach. And just before we moved to Idaho, I spent a day with her where she led me through, you know, a whole series of thinking about my past and my future, what I wanted to do. And when we were done, she said, I think your heart is really in fiction. And that's really the main thing I got out of that whole day. And then we moved to Idaho, and a year later, a young woman started a chapter of American Christian Fiction Writers in Boise, which I hadn't even heard of at that point. And that's when a bunch of writers came together. I remember, I don't know, maybe 30 people that first meeting. And that kind of filtered down to those who are really serious about it. And the group is still going, and we've had multiple people in that group get multiple books published. But I love fiction. I still like nonfiction. There's so much room for that, but fiction gives you that little extra bit of creativity to use your imagination and let it go wild. But I was surprised to discover how hard it is when you read a book that's well written. You think, wow, that was easy for that author. I could do that. And then you discover, no,
that, yeah.
It looks easy because they worked really hard to get this mm-hmm. right. So, but I've enjoyed the challenge most of the time.
Yeah,
there are days,
I know what you mean.
But I do love it.
I hear what you're saying, Becky, because I've got, oh goodness, 3. I tell everybody this when I do this show. People are going to say, gee, is she ever going to finish this? I have 3 novels in progress on my computer, you know, and I've transferred them from computer to computer for, I don't know how long now. And yeah, I know. I joined the Jerry Jenkins Guild.
Oh, yes.
Here a while back. Yeah. And one of the questions, he has I can't remember the names of his different offerings that he has, but one is where you can actually type in questions to him, you know, And my question was, what happens when you come to the point in the story where you realize you've painted yourself into a corner? That's the problem I'm at right now. I've got my characters in a situation. I don't know how to get them out, you know? And I didn't think
that
he was going to get to my question, but I was the last question he answered that night. So that was pretty cool.
And were you happy with his answer?
I was happy with his answer, and he's right. I mean, you have to go back and look at, you have to come up with some way that you're going to have a solution for these characters to get out of this. So I'm going to have to go back and kind of reevaluate.
Kind of backtrack.
Becky, tell us. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he says, you know, if you have your character in a metal box with metal bands around it in the middle of the desert and there's nobody for 500 miles in any direction, chances are they're not going to escape alive, you know?
Unless, of course, a UFO comes along.
Well, now, see, yeah. We could always extraterrestrial into a Western, huh?
With a cowboy hat.
Yeah, there you go. Well, tell us, Becky, I know you've written a couple of nonfiction books. Tell us what they were about and what the main premise was of them.
Well, my first one came about when I was sitting in my haircutter's chair in Fort Collins, Wyoming, which was just over the border from Cheyenne. Great guy.
I didn't know there was a Fort Collins, Wyoming.
Well, Colorado.
Fort Collins, Colorado.
Right, yeah, just probably 50 miles from Cheyenne.
Oh, okay.
Across the
okay.
border. And he was a great storyteller, and he would tell me stories about how between haircuts he would walk around what's called Old Town Fort Collins and befriend people. Many times those were young people that were going to college there, and he'd just play pool with them or hang out and became like a big brother, not on purpose, just kind of accidentally. He was single at the time and, you know, old enough to be their father probably.
Sure.
And just had all these great stories about, kids that are kind of aimless, trying to find their way in life. And one of them, the first real big connection was with a young girl who was driving to Denver to strip. That's like another 50 miles. That she worked weekends stripping for a living to pay her way through college. And he connected with her. They became very close friends. So he'd tell me all these stories. And one day I said to him, you know, Larry, you need to write these stories down. And he said, well, while I was washing your hair, I was thinking, I need to write these stories down. So he would tell me the stories. I'd have a recorder on, and I also take shorthand. So I'd be scribbling away, and he would tell me the stories. And sometimes they brought him to tears, or both of us, so we'd have a package of tissues between us. And, did that for several weeks or months, I don't remember. Then I would edit, you know, out all the andums and, you know, try to get the stories down to a reasonable length. And that was the first book, which is called It's a God Thing, Inspiring Stories.
Yes, and I've read that one.
Yeah. And did you enjoy it? I should ask you.
I did. It's the first one of your books that I ever read, Becky. And yes, I did. I enjoyed it very much. Yes, it's coming back to me now. It's been a long time, but yeah, I enjoyed that book very much.
Yeah, I think that was, if I remember right, written in 2000. And it's just a collection of his stories about changed lives, how God changes lives, which sort of led to my second book, Larry. I happened to just kind of a random thing. We were in the right place at the right time, and he introduced me to the leadership of an organization in Fort Collins called Freedom Fellowship. And they were a prison ministry group that went into jails and prisons all over Colorado and eventually even to the East Coast and overseas. I'm not sure all the places they've been, but emphasized Colorado. So I started interviewing volunteers and ex-inmates. I did get to go to prison once to interview some, that was a women's prison, interviewed some people there, and then I went to the local jail, interviewed there. They would not let me take in a recorder there. So I prayed hard, and
yeah.
the inmate talked really fast, but I was able to keep up with my shorthand. God just really gave me the hand movement that day, and I could read it afterward. Yeah. That's the key thing, is to be able to actually read it later. So that was just fun. I ate in the home of a woman who had murdered someone. That story's in the book, but she was out and she fed me a wonderful lunch and we had a great talk. So just some fascinating experiences. And that was book number two. I'm trying to remember what it's called, On a Wing and a Prayer, Stories from Freedom Fellowship.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's my total nonfiction book collection.
Okay. Yeah, I have not read that one, and I should, because actually my daughter works for the Department of Corrections here in Colorado. So I'm quite fascinated with the whole thing to a degree. There's some things I just don't want to know.
Right.
But, I mean, she really loves her job, you know. And I've often wondered, we see a certain aspect of prisoners. I'm saying we, the general population, we see them as people who have committed these horrific crimes and who don't belong in society. And yet, I think what we need to remember, Becky, and you can probably elaborate on this, is the fact that these people are God's children as well.
Oh, yes.
And they are just entitled to forgiveness as we are, you know. And I'm sure if you want to tell us a little bit about, you know, how it made you feel getting to know these people.
Well, I discovered there are people just like me. Especially when I volunteered in a women's prison. Excuse me. Get my voice back. When we moved to Arizona, I volunteered in a women's prison. And those women were just like me, only maybe they had a really lousy childhood. They were raised by drug addicts and they got into the addiction, or they might have had an okay childhood, but they got in with the wrong crowd. And we all make mistakes. We're all sinners, but some of our mistakes land us behind bars. But what really struck me the first time I went to the women's prison, I was moved to tears because of their great love and concern for their families and how much they missed their children and their babies. And, and it just made me realize how awful it would be to be forcibly separated from your family like that. And so when I was in Colorado talking to those people, I talked with a lot of men, so they didn't usually move me to tears, but just the rough situations they get into. And once you get into a lifestyle, or like one guy said, you know, all of a sudden I realized before I'd answer the door at night, I'd pick up a gun. And when did I get into that lifestyle? And the guy who was a heavy meth user, and he said he'd walk down the street and drug dealers could sense his vulnerability. And just something I've never experienced, and I don't want to, but we're weak. We are not strong people, and any of us could fall into some situation or pattern that would be destructive in some way or another. We're no different. So I think that's really what I've come away with, and then a compassion for people that are trapped in those situations.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I know. I mean, I have never been involved in drug use per se, but I'll tell you what, for many, many years, I was a smoker.
Oh,
and
yes.
I mean, that was something that the interesting thing is, Becky, when I was in nursing school, there were what? I don't know. I think we started out with 50 some of us. There were only four students in that whole class who didn't smoke, who did not smoke. And I was one of them. I went clear through nursing school without smoking, moved out here to Colorado and worked for a couple years. And I just thought it was kind of cool. You know, my boyfriend, then boyfriend, you know, later husband, was a smoker. And, you know, we'd go out in the evening and I just thought it was kind of cool, you know, and I'd reach over and I'd take a drag off of his cigarette. And the first day I bought my first pack, he said, "You're going to regret that." And I said, "Oh, no, it's, you know, it's just something I'll be able to quit whenever I want to." Yeah. 20 some years later, I really struggled to quit, you know, and it's been, well, I quit in 1999. So I'm looking at, what, 16, 17 years now that I haven't smoked. But I can understand that compulsion to a degree. I mean, I got to where there was one time when I even, I'm ashamed to admit this, but my daughter was just a baby and she was next to me in a car seat and I dropped the end off of a cigarette and it burned her. And even that didn't deter me. I mean, you know, it's horrible when you think of what addiction does to a person. But boy, that was mine. I loved my cigarettes. Yeah. I planned my whole day around when I could have my next cigarette. It was crazy, you know. So I can't begin to imagine how much stronger that need must be in people that are addicted to hardcore drugs.
Right. Whether they're miserable or not, that's the draw is still there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's awful. So, Becky, you, when I introduced the show, I said you kind of have a heart not only for people involved in incarceration, you know, being behind bars, but what about people, and I sense this in you, that you have a heart for people that are imprisoned in other ways. For example, those that they have no understanding of God or of any kind of life beyond what they're living. They have no hope.
Yeah, and I think okay, go ahead.
I've sensed that about you. And, you know, even in your editing experience, I mean, you take these people, probably like me, you know, who have these great dreams of being a writer and and you help them kind of get out of that prison of of self-doubt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Writers, I think, struggle with that as much more than anybody, thinking, oh, nobody's ever going to want to read this. And so, yeah, I know that challenge. So it's fun to help people make sense of the writing. And I should say I've had mentors and editors and critique partners, people that encourage me and help me hone my work and make it presentable to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to do that for other people. But while you were talking just about freedom in general and hope, I remembered that my favorite scripture verse is, I think it's Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit."
Oh, I like that one.
I just love that verse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know where, I think there's a huge connection between hope and freedom. I don't know if that was birthed before I saw people incarcerated. And even before I did prison ministry, I had a cousin who I occasionally had a need to go visit him behind bars. Or he created a need for me to go visit him.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really my only experience. And I have not been imprisoned except by, you know, bad habits or bad thinking. One of the things they tell you when you're creating characters, and this may help you with your writing yourself into a corner, is what lie does your character believe about themselves?
Yes.
And sometimes we believe the lie that our grandpa told us that we were stupid, or somebody told us we were ugly, or we would never amount to anything, or you have to be a doctor when you grow up, or else to fit into this family.
Or something happened and it's your fault.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, I think over a lifetime, just all your experiences coalesce, and freedom and hope became kind of big things for me. And I love writing about it. I write about awful things like human trafficking. And
I know, and I want to get into that, Becky. But first, before we do, we're going to take a really short break. And my break pretty much constitutes the fact that I like to let listeners know who and what they're listening to, because a lot of times people come into a Blog Talk Radio show in the middle of the show and they don't know what we're discussing. So I'm just going to kind of go into that a little bit. This morning, you are listening to Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen, and my guest is Becky Lyles, actually known Rebecca Carey Lyles. I know her as Becky. She is an author, she's an editor, and she's an avid blogger. She has written some nonfiction. She's also written a wonderful fiction series that we are going to discuss during the second half of the show, and I'm really excited to talk about that. But I do want to make listeners aware that there are ways to connect with Becky online. And rather than spiel out a bunch of different URLs for Twitter and Facebook and all those things, I'm going to refer you to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. And on that website, you'll find a Blog Talk Radio tab, and under there is a page called Website and Social Media Information. You will find that information available for all of my guests. The URLs are right there. Just click on the different ones, and it'll take you to where you want to go. Or for Becky and everyone else that's been on the show, also the show is on archive. So if you came into the show and you missed a portion of it, or you'd like to listen to it again, or you'd like to refer someone else to it, there's a archive page under that Blog Talk Radio tab where all the shows are listed. So let's get back to Becky. Becky, you wrote a wonderful series for which I got to read the first two books, and I definitely need to get the other two, called the Kate Nielsen series. So take it away. Tell us about that.
Well, that series just happens to be about an ex-prisoner. My heroine gets out of prison in Pennsylvania and goes to Wyoming to start a new life, to escape her past and start a new life. However, of course, her past follows her to Wyoming. So I think my books could be categorized romantic suspense, though some people tell me that, especially with my third book, that the suspense is a lot stronger than the romance, suspenseful romance. So that's the basic premise is a person can get freedom, but they don't don't always have the freedom they're expecting. So that's the series, and I just wrote the fourth book, which is actually a prequel to this series. The books 1, 2, and 3 are the complete story, but the prequel tells some what do you call that? Backstory of three of the characters, and it's just kind of a lead-in to the series, which was fun to write, to kind of think about what the history of the characters
of your characters
was. So do you want me to tell you about each book? Or?
Yeah, tell us a little bit, but not so much that we don't want to read it. Or you know what I mean? Enough to whet our appetite.
Right.
Don't tell us the whole story.
Okay. Well, as I was saying earlier, I tend to write about dark subjects sometimes. But
yeah.
I just want to say up front that I always strive for happy endings. So I don't want anybody to say, oh, I don't want to read about human trafficking. It's so awful. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do try to be realistic, but I do want my characters to be happy at the end.
So the first one
is about the woman who gets out and goes to Wyoming and has her past follow her, and how she learns to go through that and mature and trust God through that. And the second one, her best friend that she met in prison gets involved in human trafficking in another state, and the heroine, who's Kate Nielsen, gets involved in her rescue. And the third book is of children who have been involved in sex trafficking.
Oh,
and
my.
That was very, very difficult because I wanted to honor the children. It's such a horrible, horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to portray in that, we hear so much in America about the human trafficking overseas in other countries, but there are, and they don't know the figures for sure, but between 100,000 and 300,000 American kids kidnapped or sucked into sex trafficking every year. It's just a horrible figure, so I just wanted to sort of educate the public with that and then show how not just the horror of it, but how loving people can help bring children through that and rescue them. So it was a struggle, but I think I achieved that in the story, getting a happy ending with that. But that is the end of the series, and so that's why I'm saying the prequel was more fun and just more enjoyable to write, because even though it's suspenseful and it has its moments, at least I wasn't talking about human trafficking at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the series that's in print now, the Kate Nielsen series.
And I think what caught my attention. Go ahead, Becky. I'm sorry.
I didn't give the names of them, but maybe you did earlier. Winds of Hope, Winds of Freedom, Winds of Wyoming, Winds of Freedom, and Winds of Change.
Yes. See, I read Wyoming and Freedom, so I need to get Winds of Change and Winds of Hope. And I think what drew me to your series, Becky, was that, you know, here you have this story that is going to take place in Wyoming, and usually you think of a Wyoming heroine as someone who was probably raised around horses and is very wholesome and all of this kind of persona. And here, no, your character is an ex-con from Pennsylvania. So to me, I think that was the drawing point for me with that book was, you know, oh, wow, this author is really thinking outside the box. And that's what makes a good author. You know,
well, I have to tell you, it took me 15 years to think outside that box. Because I had, in a small writing group, we were all going to, we were told, excuse me again, that dime novels were coming back. And we were all going to start one of those. And I was going to write about somebody who came from the East Coast to Wyoming, where I lived at the time. And their life was going to be so wonderful. But that was my whole plot. And it was pretty pathetic. And so for 15 years, you know, I'd start it and the story would go nowhere. And I tried and tried. And then we moved to Arizona. And I was involved in a couple really good writing groups there. But it was one night when I was driving home from prison ministry. It was nighttime. In that area, Arizona, it's just flat and you could see the lights in the distance, but it was real, real dark where I was at. And it just hit me all of a sudden that, oh, my heroine should be somebody who gets out of prison and has a reason to leave Pennsylvania and her past and get away from that pull of the old crowd and the old habits and addictions. And so it was really, for me, it was a God moment that is like, oh, okay, you have a character which is a real person that you can have a real story to go with that. So it was kind of, I don't want to say accidental, but it took me a long time to find that character. And then after that, then the series was a little easier. But boy, the start was rough.
Getting there was tough.
That's how it happened.
That's pretty neat. That's really neat. I know in one of the stories I'm working on, my character, he was kind of a very Irish, you know, background and a cowboy kid.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Corey O'Connor. And that wasn't working for me at all, Becky. I just couldn't do much with him. And all of a sudden, he became Adam Murphy. And then his character really came to life for me. You know, so sometimes something as simple as a name can really make a huge difference in your story. It's pretty amazing. It's fun. I regret right now I haven't had the time to write like I would like to. And when I do get into it, I really enjoy it. And I'm so envious of you having your ACFW group like you do. Because out here in southeastern Colorado, I'm a member of a chapter, but my closest chapter is in Colorado Springs, and that's 120 miles away.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we've tried to get a group down here, but we're so spread out. I mean, my closest town to the west is 20 miles away, and the closest town to the east is 36 miles away. And then there's other surrounding towns out on the plains that are, you know, 20, 30, 40 miles away. And, you know, Pueblo is closer than Colorado Springs. We had a Pueblo group for a while, but it was never an ACFW group. It's just been hard. And when I go to one of those meetings, I have to really evaluate, is it worth a 5-hour drive for me up there and back for a 2-hour meeting? It just depends on what is being presented with the topic and who is presenting and all that, you know? So, yeah. And I would love to be a member of their critique group, but shoot, they meet on Tuesday evenings. I'm not going to drive up there and back in the dark. I'm not a good drive in the dark person anyway, you know? So I am envious of the folks that actually have a group that is right there in their town that they can go to and be involved in. So I guess I need to get more involved in the online stuff.
Well, I feel very blessed to have like-minded people that are, because I've been in a number of groups over the years. And I remember one group, the guy, what he wrote was borderline porn, and that would get uncomfortable at times.
Sure.
And so it's just good to have people who not only say, oh, that's nice, but they say, you can make it better.
Yes.
Or my critique partners have kept me from being too graphic with some of the sex trafficking stuff, because, you know, I don't write the really awful stuff that happens to these poor people. But even some that's a little bit over the edge, they'll say, you know, you don't need to write that. We can use our imaginations.
We know what's going to happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goodness. Well, I noticed, Becky, I made a note here that apparently you have a Goodreads giveaway coming up or going on. Let us know about that before I forget to ask you about that, because I definitely want you to mention it.
Oh, yes. I'm always excited to do those. This Goodreads giveaway goes through, I believe it's May 31st. And you can either go on Goodreads.com and look for a Rebecca Carey Lyles giveaway, or you can just go to my website, BeckyLyles.com, and on the front page, there's a place to click. It takes you straight to Goodreads and to my book that's currently being given away, which is the brand new book, the prequel. And you just put your name in there, and somehow their machine draws a name, and they send me an address, and I mail off a book. So that's just a fun way to get my name out there and for people to have a chance to get a they don't do the ebook giveaways. It's the paper book. And then you can get an autographed copy. Yeah. And so if somebody's never done that before, you can just go on Goodreads and you can put your name in for all kinds of books.
Giveaways,
It's just a fun deal for readers and for writers.
I know, and of course, I'm on ACFW, and I'm on that promotion loop, and, you know, people are always giving away books, and I give away books on my website, too. But a lot of them I don't sign up for the simple reason that I already have a huge stack of books to be read, you know.
I just feel like
let somebody else have that opportunity that is probably a faster reader than I am, has more time to read than I do, and so a lot of them I don't sign up for as much as I would love to. I can't even begin to tell you how many books I've featured on my website that it's like, oh man, I would love to read that, but I just don't get the time. So so many books, so little time.
I know, and more all the time. But yeah. I try to limit the number of books on my Kindle. And when somebody's having a giveaway that looks really good, or even 99 cents, it's like, oh, you know, someday I might read that.
Oh, I know. I can't remember the last time. I can be honest that I paid more than 99 cents for a book. You know, mm-hmm. I always do the Kindle download thing. Once in a while, I want for like $3.99, but, you know, to pay $20-$30 for a book like some people do, I can't remember the last time I did that.
No, can't do that anymore. My Winds of Hope is now 99 cents on Amazon right now.
Oh, I better
go
up there and grab it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do my Kindle. I don't even have an actual Kindle. I do it on my phone. I have
a
Kindle app on
that.
My phone. Yeah. Yeah. People say, how can you read off of that phone like that? Especially me, whose eyesight is terrible. But, man, I can sit there for hours and read on that phone. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's good. I think.
Becky, the premise of this show, as I explained at the beginning, is that I entertain guests on the show who have been through a dark time, or who, through their writing or their ministry or whatever, lead other people out of dark times. And you certainly do that with some of the subjects that you write about. But is there a dark time perhaps when you were your work or some other time that you just felt really discouraged and you just felt like you were in darkness? And how did you find your way back to light through that?
Well, I did allude to the fact that Winds of Change, the book about human trafficking, was exceptionally difficult for me.
Yes.
And I did write myself into a corner, like you've mentioned, and it's a book I prayed that God would be honored, that the children would be honored, but that I could have a fun, exciting story. I always try to put humor in my books, too, and it's such darkness, but I wanted to interject humor and have that happy ending, and yet I'd gotten to this point where it was just not working, and I'd had an expert opinion. This person said, no, you can't do that. And so I was just bumping my head against the wall. And I went to my critique group, and only one person showed up that day.
Oh, geez.
And, she said, how can I help you with this story? So we sat there and just talked. And all of a sudden, it hit me that I had involved a law enforcement agency that was wrong for the story. And that was what was messing me up. And she didn't say it, but just, you know how it is when you talk things out loud, you get the answer sometimes. And I was so grateful because I'd prayed so much about it. I think God gave me the answer right then that I needed to take that agency out of the story. And as soon as I did, I only had like the last probably fifth of the book to write at that point. And of course, I had to go back to the beginning and do a little bit of rewriting, but that enabled me, gave me the freedom to finish the crazy book. So,
wow.
That was my dark moment. That was, I was pulling my hair out on that one. So,
I was
real, once again, real blessed to have that critique partner, and God uses amazing things to answer our prayers.
Yes, He does. Well, I know you alluded to me to the fact that you have another series, at least one book, maybe a series in mind that involves kind of a fairly dark subject. Would you like to share with us about that a little bit?
People are going to think I'm a really dark person.
You're not, Becky.
I have loved ones that have been in a religious cult in another state for, at least 25 years.
Oh,
and it's been a huge, huge family concern. And it's a concern that also fascinates me. Like, what in the world gets us sucked up? Very intelligent people. Sucked up into letting somebody else rule every aspect of our lives. And this group, I mean, every aspect of their lives is controlled by one person. And there's been some neat stuff, some investigations that are going on now that we're praying will just blow the place wide open. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I've always wanted to write about it, but wasn't sure about how to do the research and just didn't want to get involved in causing more trouble possibly for family members. And so I've just been thinking about it for years and real cautious. And then it hit me. I can write fiction, and it doesn't have to particularly be about that group, but anybody that's in a controlling group like that.
Sure.
So I've started interviewing people, and I've interviewed, so far they've been all women from four different groups, ones I'd never heard of in some cases, and finding out what it's like to live within a group like that. And so I'm thinking at this point a series. I'm thinking of calling it Prisoners of Hope. There's that hope again. And showing how a person can get into such a group, why they stay in, why they want to get out, and why and how they get out, but why it's so difficult to get out. How does somebody in America imprison another person to the point, even though there's no chains or jail cells, no bars, and yet they can't walk away? So I'm curious about all of that. I've got all these books to study, and we'll see what comes of that.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds fascinating, Becky. Excuse me. Tell us about your podcast, Let Me Tell You a Story.
Oh, that's just really fun. It's a project that my husband and I do together. We have a son who is a podcast editor. That's what he does for his livelihood.
Oh,
and he said, oh, Mom. Yeah. Yes, you might want to know that. He said, Mom,
really?
You
Absolutely.
Need to do a podcast to get the word out there about your books and about your editing. And you could talk about editing. And I thought, what more boring subject could I talk about than editing? And I don't know if I'd even have two listeners, So, I thought about that, and laying in bed one night, I thought, let me tell you a story. That title came to mind, and I can get my husband on the microphone with me, because I really didn't want a one-woman show.
Mm-hmm.
It took a little arm twisting, even though he's far more outgoing than I am. But talked him into just sharing the podcast, and we read, short stories, poetry, jokes, essays, what else? Just anything that we think is going to interest readers. We don't have a strong format, like, 5 minutes into it, you'll hear a short story, and then after that, you'll hear a poem or whatever. We're just kind of random all over the board, and we take turns, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it, and I've listened to a couple of them, and they're very interesting, they're different, they're unique. Good for you.
Oh, well, thanks. In one of our, I think it's number 30, we did interview a man who wrote a book about the group our loved ones are in.
Is that right?
I think that's a pretty fascinating podcast. He read kind of the introduction to the book and then allowed us to interview him for a while. So if people are interested in the religious cult thing, they can go to our podcast number. I'm pretty sure it's 30.
Mm-hmm. And how many have you done? We were talking before the show started. How many?
Yeah, we're real close to you. I think we just recorded number 70.
Oh, wow. So you're way up there. Very good.
Yeah. Well, it's taken a few years.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And like I say, you know, there's the consistency and all that kind of thing. You know, sometimes things just don't work out.
You know, it's nice to have the freedom if, you know, we've had company for several days. Well, we're not going to sit down in the middle of that and record a podcast, so we'll just do it next week.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, sometimes I do a pre-record, too, because I have people that just can't be available on Tuesday morning if they work or whatever, you know. So I've learned how to do that, and that's kind of kind of neat, too. So, well, Becky, not really. Believe me, if anything goes wrong, I'm totally lost.
I know how it goes.
It's been an absolute delight to have you on the show this morning, Becky. It's so fun to get back in touch with you. We've done a little bit of emailing over the years, but, you know, just kind of sit here and visit with you has been absolutely great. Is there anything else you'd like to...
I just wanted to say we're anxious to read some of your writing on our podcast.
Yeah, well, I've got to get it finished before you can do that. So someday. So once again, it was just a pleasure to spend time with you this morning. Thank you so much for being on the show. Listeners, I want to remind you that if you want to connect with Becky, you can do that through my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattySheene.com. Becky has a website, which is BeckyLiles.com. Right, Becky?
Yes. Lyles with a Y.
Right. And and you'll find that on that Patty Sheen page on the website and social media information page. You'll find a link to that. And I'm not so sure if I have a link to your podcast, Becky, so you might want to send me that so I can put it on there. Because I'm sure there's folks
that
enjoy
this. Okay, and that is on our website.
Show.
But yeah,
okay.
I will send that to you.
All righty, sounds good. And I would urge listeners to check out Becky's books, especially her Kate Nielsen series. Well, her nonfiction work as well. But I thoroughly enjoyed the first two books that I read of her Kate Nielsen series. And now that she tells me that Winds of Hope is available for 99 cents, I'm going to go grab that. And I want to read The Winds of Change, too, because that's the last one in the series. You know, interesting you talk about that last book being a prequel to the other three. I don't know if you keep up with the ACFW, the main loop thing. But there was quite a discussion, if I remember right, about that just the other day. Someone was asking if you could do that. And I remember I read a series several years ago. It was a secular series. It was all about this Western ranching family. And she did that. She wrote like the first four books, and then she went back in that fifth book, and it was a prequel to the first four. And then she wrote dozens of them after that. But I just don't have time to respond to a lot of that stuff. I wish I did. But, so, you know, I'll read a couple of the comments, and then it's like, okay,
got to get to work.
I got a ridiculous amount of email on my server that I need to get rid of. I keep thinking, I'll go back and get a chance to read that. Doesn't happen. But anyway, Becky, again, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It's a great honor.
And Yeah, well, I really enjoyed it. And you just keep enjoying that snow for me, will you?
I'll do that, and you enjoy the sunshine.
Alrighty. You take care. God bless you. Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remember it. I hope to be back next Tuesday with a show at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's Mountain Daylight Time. If you missed any part of this show, remember it is on archive. You can find it on my website at pattysheen.com. God bless you and have a good week.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites.